This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Here we go. Jake and Josh are here to analyze the game they love for the team they love.
This is another Dolphins podcast.
Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh Houts.
Thank you for some play on another Dolphins podcast. And more importantly, Happy New Year. The Dolphins are busy at work rebuilding the roster. I have Josh and Dustin joining me today to dig through all of Miami's moves in free agency. Boys, I got to be completely honest here. How does it feel to hear that the Miami Dolphins have signed a New York Jets quarterback to begin two of the last three off seasons? That doesn't sound like good practice.
Well, we know the last one turned out so well.
I was going to say, it sounds like we're in hell almost. That sounds absolutely awful. But, you know, we got Zach Wilson. That's what we got to be excited about, right? That was our first big signing that day. I think right after we finished the podcast, Jake, was Zach Wilson. Everyone waited all day. Chris Greer's sleeping. Zach Wilson was the guy.
You know, another aspect there, too, is, like, what about the Sam Darnold path? Like, what happened? Like, maybe the Jets are just a cursed organization and their quarterbacks perform worse there.
Geno Smith, another one, who's still getting traded like a third-round pick for at age 37,000. Like, that's always – no offense, Josh, to you specifically there. But, yeah, very interesting start to the offseason. 2023, the Dolphins, we're going to be aggressive. We're going to sign Mike White. That was the first move the Miami Dolphins made. So, Dustin, let's start with you here. When you see it go across the board, the Miami Dolphins have signed Zach Wilson to a one-year deal, $6 million guaranteed. $10 million is the possibility, including playing time and other incentives. What went through your mind?
Not enough. I don't think we should rest our laurels on that. I'm not saying we need to, you know, run out and draft Jackson Dart in the first round or anything, but I think we probably still need to bring in another developmental guy that we need to kind of, at some point we need to get off of these $6 to $8 million deals for backup quarterbacks, whereas we can just have a guy that we develop and, you know, have a little bit cheaper, but have some confidence in.
Cooper Rush.
That was kind of my thought, though. I mean, if you look at the quarterbacks, I think we talked about too, Jake. I wrote two articles for the Finsider in back-to-back years where I think I even said I would like Zach Wilson just because, you know, he might still have some of that, as the Dolphins are saying, untapped potential. So when I saw it, I was a little bit stoked because, okay, they're finally going to try to bring in this guy who, you know, maybe you can groom, maybe you can, you know, like you said, Dustin, maybe turns into the next Sam Darnold. But to me, it just doesn't seem like enough. I don't even know if Marcus Mariota would have felt like enough to me. But, you know, you're coming into this season, you know that you need someone to come in. I mean, I don't know how many games. You can hypothesize how many games Tua might miss a year, but so far we have seen it happen where you're going to need someone. So I don't know how confident I feel in Zach Wilson, but as far as, you know, going back and seeing some of the good from his tape, we got to remember this was a guy that was drafted, what, second overall? I mean, this was a guy that teams loved, whether that was because of his arm strength or, you know, his mobility, things like that. Whatever it is, there was something there, and I'm hoping the Dolphins can bring it out of him, but my confidence level is not very high, and I'd feel much better if he was the QB3 with, you know, a veteran who, I mean, he's 12. What I think I've written down, he's 12 and 21 in his career. So he's won football games, but you can't rely on Zach Wilson, unfortunately.
Yeah, but Josh, how about this? Can you do? You did some film analysis for the Finsider, and that's why I wanted this to be the clip for today's show. Let me tell you this: did you see him successfully snap the football? Because Miami's had backup quarterbacks that can't even do that.
I did not see any of that in my film study.
So, all right. When Mike McDaniel got to Miami, the idea of Tua and this offense was Tua has the instincts that nobody else in the, he has the spider senses that only a few people in the NFL has, his ability to kind of see plays before they happen. Skylar Thompson didn't have that. The offense looked very, very uncomfortable with Snoop Huntley. Despite being a mobile quarterback, Snoop Huntley was sacked 15 times. He had a couple fumbles. The only thing that I really like about the Zach Wilson signing, and it's the only reason I think it could be successful, he is the perfect F it, Tyreek Hill somewhere down there quarterback. Zach Wilson's got that scramble ability, and he's got the rocket arm. I'm not going to say any more. I'll say this. He has 5 games in his career, Josh, 34 performances, I think you said. 5 games, he's thrown 2 touchdowns. Skylar Thompson had 1 touchdown in his regular season career. That's just like the jump we want and the jump we need are 2 very different things. Tua, I will admit, what is this, man? 14 games or fewer in 4 or 5 seasons? That is absolutely horrifying. For that, I think you really have to have a hard time trying to restructure his contract in order to bring in some stars. So if you're in a scenario where Tua plays, let's say we get real lucky and he plays 14 and a half games. Zach Wilson starts 2 and he comes in for a half. I can see him pulling 17 points out of thin air. I'm not saying it's going to happen every single game or it's even going to happen once, but in terms of just having those traits to make chicken salad out of chicken, you know what, especially with those wide receivers, like when Snoop Huntley was in the lineup, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle disappeared. They can't run that same offense that only Tua and like 3 other quarterbacks have the skill set of. So you got to go Tyreek Hill, you're fast. Zach Wilson, you're fast and you have a rocket arm. Play backyard football. That's probably the only way I can talk myself into that signing.
Yeah, I mean, the situation's a bit tough because, yeah, you do have to factor in history and you do have to factor in, you know, the time that Tua's missed. It is difficult, though, because at the same time, Tua is technically our most durable quarterback over that period of time, meaning the streaks of games in a row. Like, every backup that we bring in has been injured at some point, within a couple games. So it, you know, there is probably something to be said that some of our other moves this offseason have potentially helped him play more games in 2025, and hopefully some additional moves we make in the draft. But you always got to have that contingency plan, at least until, you know, you don't, you know, it is tough too, because you look at like Cincinnati and Baltimore, and like, those guys have missed almost as many games, or if not more. And like, you don't see them freaking out about it. So it's like, it's kind of tough, but you know, considering that the reason we haven't been able to do much in the playoffs is because Tua is never available for those playoff games that we have been in. That's what we need to account for and really just have that secondary option.
Yeah, and I guess the more I think about it, the more I'm okay with it being the secondary option. You know, having some of that, again, they said untapped potential, so I'm just going to keep using that when we talk about these guys. But, you know, like there's traits there that you can see why, you know, there might be still something left in the you know, something left there for Zach Wilson. For me, I just don't know, again, that I feel much better with him out there. But we have to remember, you know, this is a guy that the Dolphins now see as, you know, potentially being that guy that, you know, maybe they can get something out of. I just don't know. I'm going to feel any more confident when he's that guy being put out there under center.
When you compare, with Zach, like, I would prefer someone that I know plays with a bit more instinct. You know, we don't need guys seeing ghosts out there. So, like, Zach Wilson has all the arm talent in the world. He has all the, you know, physical intangibles. The question is, can his brain adapt, you know, to what we're going to try to do? Because as much as we would like to be, you know, say, hey, Mike, go ahead and like switch your entire scheme if Tua goes out, that's a lot harder than, you know, said than done, because there's so much muscle memory in all the different positions. You know, you're changing the cadences of your offensive line. They got to regel. Like, it takes a couple weeks to do that kind of thing.
And you saw that. I mean, the Dolphins in their first game without Tua, they lost 24-3 again in Seattle. And there were so many, like, people still hate Julian Hill because just the offense lacked that rhythm. And, like, I mean, I wouldn't say he was a great tight end, but there was a lot of scenarios where I think he was the fall guy for, you know, maybe a little stutter in your cadence, and all of a sudden there's the false start where Tua didn't necessarily have that. I don't know. I just think you could really, you could really just put a real basic Honda Civic out there and say, you know, Zach Wilson, you know, if the offensive line's still shaky, spin out of the pocket and just send it downfield. I could see them just having that type of offense where Snoop Huntley and people were kind of making the argument for him. I know our good friend Eric Smith was. The offense just still felt really limited. I think the Dolphins did a good job of making it work with someone like Snoop, but he didn't also have that arm strength just to kind of send it downfield. So I think that's where they're going. Dustin, I want to get your thoughts of a couple other names, and you too here, Josh. Nick Mullins, I think he signed a two-year, $6 million deal. Vikings, I think it was. Maybe Jacksonville. One of the two as backup somewhere. Then you had Marcus Mariota, who is linked to the Miami Dolphins. He's returning to Washington on a one-year, $8 million deal. It sounds like that was kind of just a relationship that wasn't ready to be broken up, even though he was linked to Miami. And then the last one I wanted to bring up was Mac Jones, two-year deal with the San Francisco 49ers, about $11 million overall. Do you see any of those, and do they kind of give you any thought of what Miami could have, should have done, or is it just is what it is at this point?
I would have felt more comfortable, I think, with, like, I've done a lot of hating on Mac Jones, but most of it was in jest. Watching him at Alabama, I knew that he wasn't doing the same things at Alabama that Tua was doing, even though his numbers were technically, you know, in the same realm or better. But it's all about, like, what they're asking you to do concept-wise. Then he gets to the NFL. He has, you know, a really good, you know, rookie season, I would say. And then, you know, things kind of fell off the wagon there for him. Honestly, I think a lot of what happened there could be, you know, some toxicity within that team towards the end of Belichick's career and the fallout there. So I would have felt more comfortable with Mac Jones. Would I want to pay him $11 million over Zach Wilson at $6 million? I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't feel the need to go in like the third round and draft a quarterback, or third or fourth round and draft a quarterback if I got Zach Wilson. So maybe you balance it out that way.
Yeah, I mean, listening to this, I kind of feel like the Dolphins did, you know, I think they did pretty good here. I mean, again, I don't know that I'm going to have any more confidence in Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, Nick Mullins, you know, and Marcus Mariota. I think Kat said it best. If Tua Tagovailoa goes down, we're pretty much, you know, the pooch is screwed. But I think that, you know, for a coaching staff that, you know, we can always call offensive gurus, you know, we call them the quarterback whisperer, this, that, and the other thing. I want to see what they have there. And I'm going to be honest, I have done cut-ups on Luke Falk and things like that. So I have no, you know, I have no shame in saying that I see a little bit of potential there with Zach Wilson, even if that is hypocritical.
You're hoping, you're praying some way you can kind of pull a compensatory pick out of this, something like that. However, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I do just want to mention the Dolphins were awarded 4 compensatory picks, and I spent way too much time trying to figure out how the Miami Dolphins got a second 7th-round compensatory pick on March 11th when I should just be enjoying my life instead of wondering why Cedric Wilson, who had his contract void, all of a sudden, I digress. However, what I'm trying to get at here for you guys, outside of the fact that I'm a crazy Dolphins fan, Dolphins have 11 picks in the draft. Where do you think there's going to be a lot more done before we get to, what, April 17th, whatever the draft may be? There's going to be a lot of time. So pick 98, third round compensatory. They got a 4th-round compensatory. They have an extra 5th because of the Chubb trade. They have an extra 7th because of the Chase Claypool trade. And then 2 more 7th-round compensatory picks that I just mentioned. Where do you guys think that sweet spot is if the Dolphins were going to draft someone with this room, which I'm kind of leaning I'd like?
Yeah, so, I mean, with Zach Wilson, I'm not really feeling that, you know, a 3rd or a 2nd round is necessarily where the value is going to be. I still have a little bit more guys, you know, film that I want to watch. I want to watch a little bit more Ewers. I want to watch a little bit more of Gabriel. But yeah, I'm kind of like, initial thoughts are 4th round is kind of where I'm looking.
Yeah, I mean, it's so cliche to say, right? But it all really depends on who's there on the board. And, you know, because I'm going to be honest, I'm looking at it. I don't know how many of these guys I feel more confident in than Zach Wilson. That sounds crazy terrible to say. But I think I kind of agree with you. I mean, unless, you know, a guy that you're really confident in, I love Jalen Milroe probably more than I should. But unless they fall into your lap in the, you know, day two, I think, you know, looking for one early day three is the way to go. And, I mean, you mentioned Dillon Gabriel, or some of those other guys. I mean, those are probably what we're looking at here. I mean, a camp battle with those at quarterback too, you know, any of those guys were Zach Wilson. Again, my confidence level is all in on Tua Tagovailoa, but that's how it should be, right? When you're getting paid that much money, we live or die by our quarterback.
So that's the thing with Gabriel though, is I kind of view him as like a poor man's Tua already. So, not just because of the hand that he throws, like it's the instinctual the way that he plays, you know, with his brain. And he also has to overcome some of the arm strength things, which is why he has to play that way. Mm-hmm. So I kind of view that, like, I'm so tired of seeing teams like get a very hyper specific quarterback skill at starter and then having like a completely opposite guy as their backup. Like, why are we doing this to ourselves?
Something the Dolphins did to themselves for a very long time is ignore the offensive line. That's slowly starting to change. One of the first moves the Dolphins made in free agency, it came, 6 hours, Josh, into the legal tampering period. So we recorded at 4. Of course, it was like 6:30. The Dolphins start making some moves. Former Pittsburgh Steelers guard James Daniels signs a 3-year, $24 million deal with the Dolphins. And I know right away people are going to start, all right, well, we had $25 million cap space. The Dolphins are going to manipulate the crap out of this contract. I can tell you that right away. But Dustin, what were your first instincts to hear that a very steady guard, when healthy, and he's been healthy for a long portion of his career, except for last year, is coming to Miami?
I mean, that's really just it, isn't it? Like, you look at this guy, and I've been a fan for a bit, but, you know, once again, you know, we have to ask, is Greer shopping in the injury cart again? And, you know, that's not to say he will be injury plagued going forward, because as you mentioned before that, he was relatively healthy. But that's also the reason we can get him at because we got him at a pretty good deal for, you know, the way he plays. I mean, the dude is a road grader. He'll take out his guy and wash him out. So I'm very excited for the move. I'm tempering that slightly because I just hope it doesn't become a situation where like he plays a little bit and then, you know, isn't maybe all the way back like the way Phillips was last year for us on the same type of injury. So to me, I'm glad with the move. I don't think it stops us from drafting another offensive lineman or two. Decent, maybe it doesn't have to be the first round anymore, but I think we should still, you know, second round, third round, be interested for sure.
Yeah, I think my initial reaction was just like Willy Wonka heel click, right? Like, I went into it kind of with no expectations this offseason, but at the same time, you wanted them to go out there and get a, you know, relatively good guard. And as we talked about leading up to free agency, you know, James, he was one of them. And I think it was funny because even Kat was like, are you going to be upset if it comes across your phone that James Daniels signs with the Dolphins? And I think we were all like, no, not at all. And then it happened. So I like that they shored up one side. I texted a buddy of mine that was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and he basically said this guy is, you know, stout. He's a little bit worried about their offensive line now that they're losing pieces, but he said this guy's very good in the run game. I looked up his PFF score. I think he finished like second overall as far as a guard. So as long as he can stay healthy, which I guess would be my biggest fear now, right, with the Dolphins, he signs with the Dolphins. Greer goes into Clarence, you know, the pre-owned pile, and of course it doesn't ever live up to his hype. That would be my biggest fear based on, you know, being a Dolphins fan. But I'm stoked for this. I think it shores up one side, and it wouldn't at any point, you know, take me out of the running of drafting an offensive lineman high. But kudos to Chris Greer for getting it done and getting it at that value, because it was a nice value compared to some of those other guards that signed.
Am I Am I being a homer to say it's not really a debate if you look at someone like Aaron Banks getting 4 years, $77 million, and not thinking like this is exactly like the Dolphins need to take risks? You're either going to pay through your nose to get one of the premier guys, or you need to take a risk. And I think the Dolphins took a strong risk here. And as we were preparing for free agency, guys, I was just looking at like the pedigree of a lot of players, and Aaron Banks came to mind as I think he was like a seventh round pick. I don't think James Daniels fits that mold. I think he was actually a second round pick. And the Steelers, I mean, back in my day, the old Ben Roethlisberger days, their offensive line was so bad and they were getting the ball out so quickly that they spent a couple years investing in that offensive line, and all of a sudden they can't pay those guys. I look at this as such a great opportunity where the Dolphins were smart enough not to pay through the nose for someone who you don't necessarily know is going to be there the entire time, but also like guards a position, and I'm not saying necessarily in year one, but you're going to be pretty comfortable with like a second year fourth rounder, a third year fifth round, somebody coming in and stepping in and developing that position. And when I see the Dolphins have a couple fourth rounders, I see them having 4 7th round picks. I see that if you can get through a year with Daniels playing 15 games, anything more would be incredible. You're starting the pipeline with someone like him, and that's what I'm really excited about.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, no notes. Definitely, it's worth the risk. And the question is really, is it a risk? You know, sometimes you get, you know, everybody's going to have an injury at some point in their career. You know, is this, you know, his injury year that he's coming off of, and we just happen to luck out and get a pretty good deal for 3 years, and maybe he plays all 3 years and looks fantastic for us. And especially, you know, him and Jackson next to each other are going to be, that's going to be, and then you also have Brewer at center, like from the middle over, we're going to be able to run to the right. Like, I don't see any reason that we should not be able to do that. I mean, we still need a wide tight end, but.
Still, you can see that, you can see the vision, and it gets you excited because for so long we've had to rely on the Rob Joneses, Liam Eikenbergs, and things like that. I'm glad you mentioned being next to Austin Jackson, because I think that does, you know, that is going to help everyone out a lot. So hope that they can find that other option on the left-hand side. As we'll talk about, they might have someone that they signed, but I love this signing, and I hope that we're not looking back at it like, of course this had to happen to the Dolphins, right? Of course it didn't work out, because we need him now.
And we can't really have the tone of course it didn't work out, because you look back to last year, the Dolphins made a lot of smart moves. They are following in those same footsteps from last year, where it's a lot of 2-3 year deals. We got to take some chances on guys, and they made a lot of strong contact hits. I mean, you're not going to get everyone like Jonnu Smith, who's setting franchise records every year, but there were Jordan Brooks, another one, a lot of contact hits. We're going to sweep Jordan Poyer right under the rug. Josh, you hinted at him. Larry Borum, former Bears tackle. We joked about this going into free agency. Dustin, I was kind of eyeing Tevin Jenkins as someone, and then I came to the conclusion, should we really be looking at anybody on that Chicago Bears offensive line?
So I would still love Tevin Jenkins. If you were to ask my family at the Tevin Jenkins draft party, that I basically broke tables trying to bang the table for him. And I still think he's playing well. I don't think the Chicago offensive line as a whole played well, but I thought he didn't play bad. So I would still take him. Did you ask me about the guy we picked up already, too?
I mentioned his name, but I don't think I asked you about him specifically. What do you have for some initial thoughts for Larry Borum?
I think he's okay. I think he's in the same realm as Eichenberg, but maybe a little bit more consistent. A bit more, he's got the same kind of like versatile like aspects to him. It'd be interesting to see where they play him though, and what their role is, because there's a number of different ways they could handle him. You know, does he take up the Kendall Lamb vacancy, or does he get slotted in and play guard for basically the first time in his career? We'll see.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say, because if you're on Blue Sky, make sure you follow Travis Wingfield. But he said, you know, go back and look at 2022. Larry Borum's playing guard against the Buffalo Bills, and you could definitely see he was much better inside than outside. But I don't know that that's really saying much. So getting him in here to, you know, be a body, a living body, right, to battle and maybe, you know, win that left guard spot. When worst case scenario, you know, he's your swing tackle or whatever. So I'm a little bit indifferent here, intrigued to see what he can do inside, but on the outside, I mean, he's obviously going to be nothing more than a swing tackle, or, you know, break in case of emergency if, you know, God, something bad goes wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to note, though, that his right guard experience is 20 plays. Like, it's not a lot. So we have absolutely no idea. Like, we've seen Eichenberg play well for 20 plays before.
Yeah, I got 62 snaps between left guard and right guard. So, yeah, he hasn't done much at guard at all.
That hasn't stopped Miami before. They just re-signed Jackson Carmen. If you're remembering who that is, well, the Dolphins signed him after he spent about 3 years with the Cincinnati Bengals, where he was primarily a left tackle and a guard. In a must-win game against the Houston Texans, Jackson Carmen was thrown into action where? Right tackle for the first time of his career. I think he was penalized twice, allowed a sack. But I'm just going to package four guys together for you guys, because the Dolphins re-signed Jackson Carmen, which I don't think we have any other notes outside of what I just said. D. Eskridge, punt returner, sixth wide receiver. But also the guys that I think are a little more interesting here. Elijah Campbell and Quentin Bell are back in the building.
Yeah, Quentin Bell kind of did some impressive things for me last year, like in limited snaps, but I enjoyed watching him play. Could have used a bit more production, but I think as a rotational depth piece, I'm happy with the move.
Yeah, and I think you have written down there, Jake, it made sense why they didn't tender him, right? Because I think he made $1.5 million. So if they would have tendered, everyone's freaking out, right? And this is a guy who, I mean, we all remember last, you know, training camp and stuff. This dude was like the MVP. Like, he was getting ready to go into the Hall of Fame for the way he was playing. So another depth piece. I'm here for that. And then Elijah Campbell, a guy who you see him in special teams making plays, but I also feel like he's made some plays at safety too. So if they're going out there just letting these guys battle it out to see what they can do, I'm okay with that. I have nothing on Jackson Carmen, though. That's, I mean, it's a nice.
Oh, at all, don't worry.
Yeah, you said his name, and that's what we got.
It's kind of with him, it's like an attitude thing from what I read. It's like he has the traits and he could be special. It's just it hasn't put all together. Josh, I completely agree with you. I think Elijah Campbell, he actually has an interesting path to playing time. One note, Javon Holland, who signed with the Giants, he had his podcast, and he actually spoke highly of Patrick McMorris, that he could come in and be a player, and how this Anthony Weaver defense is about your safeties being about an umbrella, like your last line of defense, that type of sense. So I could see both Quentin Bell, Elijah Campbell's carving out paths here to playing time. I always thought it was funny with Campbell. Everyone was like, with Bell, everyone was like, why aren't we just re-signing this guy? He's young talent. And then people forget this dude's like 30 years old. So it's stability. It's stability in a unit where you have guys like Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips who are coming back from injury as a rotational piece. And I got to say Grayson Murphy, because I'm going to shoot my shot with him. I'm hoping he comes back strong next year. Oh boy. Former Detroit Lions safety, Afiti Moifiatu? That's probably super wrong. I'm so sorry. I'm going to practice that throughout the offseason. But boys, 1 year, $4 million, prove it deal. Kat mentioned this, Dustin, in one of our previous shows, that the Dolphins might just be able to pluck two starting safeties, 1 year prove it deals off the streets and say, hey, we'll draft someone in the mid rounds and just see what happens.
Yeah, and it definitely seems, you know, they're going down that route, right? Like we've got this guy and also another guy that I'm sure we'll talk about in a bit. But yeah, I don't know too much about the Detroit safety. I haven't watched him too much yet, but just looking at, you know, the PFF and stuff, like could be a pretty decent pickup, especially on that, like you mentioned, for the deal that we're getting. Still kind of would expect maybe a guy like McMorris to maybe push, you know, for the starting over him. But, you know, I'm sure it'll be a fun camp battle to monitor.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you said the name, Jake. I had the pronunciation and everything. I'd probably still mess it up. I'm just going to call him F-A too. But, I mean, I watched him. I went back and looked. And when he's healthy, I mean, he's a versatile player. I have written down he played 63 snaps in the box last season, 63 at safety, and 43 in the slot with 5 on the boundary. So he's moved all over that Detroit Lions defense. Only played the last 4 games. Did give up a touchdown in the playoffs. But he's a guy that, you know, is not scared to tackle. He's a guy that can drop down the box and fill holes and run support. So I like this move. I just wonder if you're not sitting here putting all their eggs in baskets. Again, injuries, right? Injuries has been the MO with him. There was an article going around, you know, he's now the Dolphins problem. And everyone, I don't even know if they read the article, but the premise of that article is that this guy is talented. He's, you know, he's got some traits that you like, but he's never on the field. So if the Dolphins can get the most out of him, I would be intrigued to see what he can do in Anthony Weaver's defense. I just feel like, again, for the safety position, whether it's, you know, him or Ashton Davis, you're relying on guys that, you know, don't have that experience, haven't done it before, and, you know, have been banged up. So intrigued by the player, like what I've seen from him. But again, I just don't know that having him, Patrick Morris, Elijah Campbell is gonna be enough to be that last line of defense, like you mentioned, Jake.
That's what I think is so interesting. I think guard and safety in the same light where, would we be surprised if Patrick McMorris comes in and is shaking trees, making noise as maybe not a starter, but that third safety? He's a sixth round pick who barely played last year. So, like, I understand not trying to put a bunch of eggs in the safety basket or taking a risk at James Daniels at guard, because the developmental process for these type of positions are just as important as having that starter. Dolphins obviously failed at that last year, but this is where we're hoping they're correcting that mistake. So, Dustin, he's been in the AFC East for a while. Do you have any thoughts? Ashton Davis, former Jets safety, 1 year, $2.5 million. My bad again, man.
Yeah, I mean, if I go just by, you know, Jets fans' reactions, we're probably taking on a guy we don't want. But I happen to watch, you know, a decent amount of 2024 film. And I, in general, I felt pretty decent about him. I thought his coverage was pretty decent in general. I think, you know, there's always, you know, safeties always kind of have this weird thing where, you know, small numbers, right? They have low amounts of targets, so their stats will shift wildly. But if you're just going on that, his NFL rate, I believe in 2024 was only like 32 or something like that, right? Like, had a good amount in his career, a bunch of interceptions, you know, what has he been playing since 2020? So that's 5 years, something like what? Eight or nine interceptions,
8 interceptions in 69 games. Yeah. Appearances.
So, I mean, probably nothing to write home about, but he might be a guy that we can, you know, slot back in there. Honestly, even with Holland, I just don't think safeties are as important in Weaver's system.
That's actually what Holland said. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah.
No, yeah. So, and I think we might, you already hinted at it, Jake, but I think we're definitely going to see some more like 4-2-5 bear defenses, you know, with 3 safeties out there. Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I actually went back to Twitter, which I don't like, X, whatever you want to call it, and I had some clips from Ashton Davis. It must have been burned into my brain. He must have picked off Justin Herbert or something in college where it was that game that really stood out, but he showed some range in college. So that really never translated over to the pros, to the New York Jets. But I did find it interesting that he had the 8 interceptions when I think Javon Holland only had 5 in his career or something like that. So that's not how you measure players. But the fact that he's that type of ball hawk, you can kind of see maybe what the Dolphins see in him. So this was a guy who Mel Kiper had ranked as his 3rd safety heading into that 2020 draft class. So again, untapped potential. That's what I'm going to continue to think with all these guys. Since they said it was Zach Wilson, they have to see maybe some traits they like with Ashton Davis, maybe whether that's, you know, just hanging back and, you know, attacking the football, whatever it is. Interested to see it. I saw some people say, you know, they already feel like this is a better safety tandem than we had last year. I don't know if that's true, but interested to see, you know, what just throwing some guys out there and letting, you know, the chips fall, how it works out. So Ashton Davis, I like more than most people do, but he has not done anything since being drafted.
No, you're all good, man. Go ahead.
I will say this about, you know, Ashton Davis, and that he continues the trend. Like, I don't know if anybody else has really picked up on this, but the Dolphins have this trend under Greer that we tend to always pick up guys in free agency that are relatively mid as far as the NFL goes, but played really, really well against us at some point.
Always taking the notes. They do that with so many safeties too. Guys,
two picks. Were you alluding to the two picks? Ashton Davis did have 2 picks against the Dolphins. It picked off Snoop Huntley back in January. So might be – yeah, so there it is. I mean, that must have been all they had to see. And they're like, you know what? To hell with Javon Holland. We can get this dude.
Run to the podium.
From running to the podium to running to the end zone, it must have been 9 times last year. The Miami Dolphins – God, time's a flat circle. They found their wide receiver 3, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Man, I'm actually very excited about this signing. It kind of feels like what we always wanted Eric Azukama to be, that big body, 6'2" wide receiver. Josh, I see the tear. I'm so sorry. But man, 2-year, $6.5 billion deal. This is the type of like margins move, but he's going to have this clutch like 3rd and 6th reception where he's all alone, and it's going to be awesome, I hope.
Absolutely. I'm pretty excited about this move. I have been saying in chats, you know, for a couple of months now that, you know, one of my draft targets is Betch. And that's because I want that 6'2", decent route runner kind of role, you know, at wide receiver, good blocker. And I think, you know, maybe we don't go Betch now because I think this guy fills that same kind of role. But it's pretty exciting. I mean, just watch his red zone film. It's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, it almost feels like the Dolphins have been chasing this type of receiver since, you know, McDaniels got here, right? We saw the Cedric Wilson experience, Chase Claypool. He might have been a little bit bigger, but they always try to get this big body guy. And when they did, you know, for whatever reason, they just weren't involved in the offense. So I like what Ikhine does. You can watch, like you mentioned, the red zone tape. You can see him using his big body to box out corners, make some nice contested catches. And then he also does stuff in the run game as well, blocking and things like that. So when you add him to Jalen Wild, Tyreek Hill, Malik Washington, I mean, you feel a lot better about that receiving corps than maybe you had before. And that's not even to include Jonnu Smith and Devon Achane as well. So I like this move. Again, I think it's kind of what they've been chasing with the Cedric Wilsons, the Odell Beckham Juniors, and some of those other guys.
And the key is he's different than all of them. He is just such a unique body that the Dolphins have desperately missed. And it was so cool because he's had so many touchdowns. I think it's like 30% of his receptions last year were touchdowns. And it was fun because not only was it like a 2-minute video, half of his touchdown receptions came in traffic where it was over the middle and he was boxing someone else. But the Dolphins might have finally found someone who can get all alone in the back of the end zone. It seems like it's always teams against the Dolphins who have that one guy who's just like in the corner all by himself with no defender. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is absolutely incredible when it comes to just getting lost in defenses. So overall, I think this is what this wide receiver group needed. 2 linebackers. I think both of these were announced on Wednesday. One might have been Wednesday, one might have been Thursday. But first, Tyrell Dodson is back in the building, a 2-year contract worth $8.2 million. And the biggest thing I like about Dodson, the Anthony Weaver, the Baltimore defense, it's so safe. It wants you to nickel and dime all the way down the field. You need somebody who can make an opportunity and take an opportunity. Tyrell Dodson, he was in Miami for 8 games last year. He had a 5-year career entering Miami, not a single interception. 3 picks in 8 games with the Dolphins. He might not go down as an all-time player. Just the instincts and the feel he has for this current Dolphins defense, I would have had a hard time letting him walk out the door.
100%, Jake. I am super pumped that we brought him back. I know last year, even when we first signed him, I remember, you know, he was at the Bills before he was two teams ago. And I remember, you know, he didn't do too much after the Bills, if I remember correctly. With was he Seattle? It went Bills, Seattle, and then us?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So the Seattle linebacker core, that's a mess. They've been rotating those guys in every 3 weeks, it seems. So I don't really put too much stuff in there. And when we brought him in, I was like, he should be playing over Walker. Mm-hmm. And eventually, you know, they were really slow to uptake that. But eventually Walker, you know, he had his injury thing and Dodson came in, like you mentioned, got his 3 interceptions. Dude's a dog, I think. And you know, he's not Brooks, but I really like him. So I'm very pumped about this move.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were all kind of just sitting here waiting for this to happen, right? Scratching our head. Why would you let him go? I mean, maybe he won a test free agency, which he got a decent contract. But I mean, this is a guy who the Dolphins needed the depth there at linebacker. We saw what he could do in coverage. And for that reason alone, I would have re-signed him, right? I mean, the guy had led the team in interceptions, joined us how late in the season, and just does things in coverage, you know, that you want in the middle of your defense. So glad they could find a way to get this deal done. And it seems like it's a relatively nice contract for him as well. So glad it finally got done, because we were all just waiting for it to finally happen. And he's such like a, you know, I don't want to say a mid player, but a player that, you know, you wouldn't have lost sleep over necessarily if he left, but you're very happy he's back on your team.
Just for those couple opportunities per game to just make flip the game on its head. You mentioned Anthony Walker Jr. He's not leaving Florida, but he did sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And however, the Dolphins played a little reverse Uno by signing Tampa Bay Buccaneers linebacker KJ Britt, 25 years old. And I saw a lot of clips going around in Twitter. This is somebody who's going to be in the middle of your pack, kind of being that dog, that vocal leader. So, Dustin, how are you feeling about this trio at a linebacker? I mean, we could say the quartet and include Channing Tindall if you really want to.
Does Channing Tindall even exist is the question.
For all those Georgia defenders that come to the NFL and are so awesome, this guy might not exist.
I don't know. I remember being so excited about his like athleticism coming out, but it just, I don't know what's wrong. As far as KJ Britt, I'm not terribly like he's just the guy for me. I'm you know, we run more like 2 middle linebackers, and then like obviously our edges are our other linebackers for the majority of the time. So he's kind of more just like a depth rotation, you know, maybe guy needs a breather kind of piece. I'm not high or low on him. He's just kind of there.
First you got me with Ezukama, and now you just hit me with Channing Tindall. This is a terrible day for House and his man crush list. Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel indifferent. It kind of feels like the Anthony Walker, right? Like, we were hyped about Anthony Walker, I think, you know, heading into the season, but he was just a depth piece, right? So they got younger there, and that's enough for me. I want to see the way this whole battle plays out, or, you know, maybe if he can push, you know, to get more playing time. But Channing Tindall, he might not exist. That might have been what they were joking about at the combine. They were all just sitting there talking, like, where the hell did Channing Tindall go? Like, what's going on here?
Britt kind of reminds me a little of Landon Roberts. And I also, like, people forget Anthony Walker was like a team captain in Cleveland. Like, this guy was a vocal leader too. So I really think the Dolphins just got younger Anthony Walker, younger Landon Roberts. And it's a good depth piece. I wouldn't look too much more into that. Hopefully he's not starting much games, because this Baltimore defense, Dustin, you hit the nail on the head. I was actually just talking to Travis on Blue Sky about this too. Like, I had in my notes going back to that Baltimore defense with Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith. Both of those guys are playing 95% of snaps plus. Like, it's those guys and then everybody else. So if you're focusing on other like interior linebackers, you might be wasting your time a little bit. I like this duo. I was kind of, before they added Britt, I was wondering maybe Jalen Walker might be that pick at 13, and you see if he develops as an edge, because the Dolphins need some help there, or if he can kind of be that off-ball guy. I thought that would have been an interesting development. Now I'm not entirely sure. And guys, I don't know if this is burying the lead, but a very interesting signing. Alexander Mattison is headed to Miami. Last year with the Raiders, he's hopped around the league a little bit, but Dustin, 26 years old. You got Devon Achane and Jalen Wright, two relatively high draft picks. I'm going to call them both third rounders. I'm just going to keep it to what it is. What do you take into bringing in Madison to the mix?
I'm sorry. What?
Oh, did you see this? This happened right before we got on the air.
No, I hadn't. This is news to me.
Surprise!
Breaking news.
Josh, go ahead then. We'll let Dustin collect his thoughts here a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to always get put things into a fantasy scope, right? But we all remember Alexander Madison. I mean, he was a guy who, you know, you'd plug in and maybe even won you some fantasy leagues. So the fact that I was kind of surprised he's still 26 years old, started, what, 7 games last year in 2024 for the Las Vegas Raiders, has over 2,800 rushing yards throughout his career, 22 touchdowns. It's the same thing, right? They signed Raheem Mostert. We kind of did the reverse, you know, we went out there and got Alexander Madison. So I like adding that to that room because, again, you like Jalen Wright, you like what you saw in college, but you have yet to see it translate to the NFL game. You want to get less touches to Devon Achane in the running game between the tackles. This is a way to do it. A guy who has that experience can be kind of that thunder, right, Jay? He can be our thunder. Uh-oh. So, So I like it. I'm not against it, but then again, we don't have the contract in front of us. So the Dolphins wouldn't do anything crazy and give this dude a huge contract, right? Not Alexander Madison, not in the year 2025.
We don't have much money to give anymore anyway. So,
kind of, did the Dolphins finally sign Dalvin Cook? Remember, he was Dalvin Cook's backup in Minnesota for a couple of years, and I think one wore number 4, one wore number 2, and they both had dreads. So, and it was crazy. It's like when Alexander Madison came in for like a couple snaps, he was like a backup, but when he got shoved into that starter role behind Cook, it was kind of interesting how he actually played better having that volume of snaps. When I think about this signing, I think about the fact the Dolphins have 4 seventh round picks. And I think about the fact Mike McDaniel loves drafting running backs. I wouldn't be surprised if Madison is falling to your 4th or 5th string running back. I just think he kind of needed a veteran in the room. I don't think you can go with, like, Devon Achane. I think he, you know, if we want to talk about him growing into a leader, I think it's very possible and I wouldn't deny that. But I just think you needed to, I don't want to belittle these guys, but just an adult in the room. And I think Madison brings that.
I think that's fair. The question I would have is Hoots, you mentioned it already, but like, we got to see what Wright is about. We got to see, you know, I don't think he was sitting because of his ability to run the ball last year. I think it was more, you know, playbook things.
Absolutely.
Picking up pass blocking, you know, reliably. I think it's those kinds of things that were probably holding him back last year. Plus, there was still some level of like loyalty with Mostert around still that, you know, McDaniel had, I think. So we got to see what Wright comes with. And yeah, I mean, maybe Matheson, you know, that 1 year you're talking about, he started off really hot and then kind of tapered off as the year went down. So maybe, you know, if there's still a little bit more growing room for Wright to have, maybe this guy gives us the opportunity for that to happen without relying solely on Achane.
And I saw some people showing his short yardage stats on Twitter. I think it might have been, I'm fairly confident it was the 3 yards per carry guys. So CK Parrott, Elf, go check out those guys for the official stats. But I saw that and I even got thinking, I'm like, we had 2 years ago where everyone was celebrating every Jeff Wilson first down against the Dallas Cowboys, and then we didn't do it at all last year. So who cares if we bring in someone to be like a short yardage guy? The Dolphins don't necessarily use it. I do think, too, that this is a position running back where with the Dolphins having 4 seventh-round picks, I'm going to be a little annoyed if you don't draft one and you don't hit on one in this type of scenario where you have those options to kind of pick out a trait, whether it's short yardage, whether you want another guy that can run between the tackles, whether you want someone who can pass catch a little more like Madison, I think, is capable of. I think the Dolphins, this is going to be a position that could see a lot of work done in the draft.
Yeah, and you mentioned short yardage. The only guy I want to bring in here for short yardage situations is Tyler Warren, right? Let him be that short yardage guy. But you mentioned needing an adult in the room. I mean, he started 20 games. So, I mean, if anything, you at least have a guy that you know you can – start of NFL game, right? Throw out there if you need to, in case, you know, something terrible happens. I mean, we've watched Salvin Ahmed start game, Miles Gaskin, Ryan Fitzpatrick led the team in rushing. So we get Alexander Madison as your third, maybe fourth guy. Yeah, that's a nice signing for the Dolphins, as long as, again, they didn't offer him some ridiculous-ass contract, which isn't even possible.
The one take I was trying to – oh, go ahead, Dustin, my bad.
I was just going to ask if a move like this, you know, makes you guys, like, where are you feeling on Ash and Genty in round one?
This makes you think they're not going, like, I don't think that Alexander Mattis could change your plans, but, like, I kind of feel like it's not going to happen, or if it ever even was possible. I don't think it was, maybe, but they wanted Jonathan Taylor, right? They almost traded a first for him and paid him, or whatever it was, hypothetically speaking.
But if you're looking for that bigger guy, like 5'9", 215.
Then you're set.
I just don't know if you can take the running back if the linemen are there. Like, we've spent so much time talking about how the Dolphins need to take their medicine. Even if you have, like, you have two stout left, or you have two tackles that you relatively trust, and Patrick Paul, Austin Jackson, Teron Armstead might still be coming back. But I think if you want to show we're no longer kidding around about the offensive line, you want to show you're truly serious, even with these moves, you take Kelvin Banks, Armand Membu at 13. I think that's the only thing holding me back from Genty, because, like, I think it's so interesting, the idea of that. But I think the idea of Genty just doesn't make sense for a team like the Dolphins, who continue to do these outside zone pitches on third and two just to get annihilated for a 4-yard loss. Like, there's no reason to bring in Genty if you're going to continue to do that. And I have no faith that the Dolphins won't continue to do that. So that's kind of where I'm settled with that. Long story short, bring me Will Johnson.
Sorry, guys. Can you still see me? I'm having some kind of technical difficulty.
Yeah, we can.
Okay.
Let me see here if I got anything else. Josh, how you feel? Where do you feel about the draft right now with these moves? What do you think is that biggest weakness that the Dolphins still need to take a big swing that might not actually be there in free agency?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Will Johnson. He still seems to be that pipe dream for me. I mean, I feel like that secondary is still, you know, we didn't really talk about the Cater Coe thing. I'm still surprised no one's going to come in and try to snipe him away from us. You brought in these two safeties. I still feel like there's some needs there. So, I mean, does Malachi Starks come into play more? I mean, I feel like they... I'm not sure, Jake. I'm going to say defensive line still right now until Calais Campbell makes up his mind. I'm looking at like Kenneth Grant or something like that there. They could even go pass rusher, but it's defense for me. Cause again, I like what they're doing and building that offensive line. What about you, Dustin? You have a different need that you see this team with right now. I mean, the nice thing is they are trying to do the flex deal and, you know, go into the draft with plenty of opportunities if best player falls to them.
Yeah, that's if there's one thing that I enjoy the way that Greer operates, is that we don't tend to go into the draft with like, oh my gosh, we are on fire at position A. But I love me some Membo, man. I think he, you know, there's a number of guys I'd be very happy with, but I think right now that's where I'm at.
That offense would just be so stout. But then you just wonder too, like, then do you convince Armstead to come back, and all of a sudden you got this like December fastball just waiting to just be what could be. But that is it. That is all we have today on another Dolphins podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. There are more free agent additions to come. Josh, you hinted at them: cornerback, defensive tackle. The Dolphins are not done, but we are. So go out there, have a wonderful weekend, and most importantly, fins up.
Fins up. Fins up.